Yeah, it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse, well, we'll start in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your fruitless manner of life received by tradition from your fathers. Now, redeemed means purchased. So what difference does it make whether you were purchased by gold or silver or by blood? You were not redeemed with gold or silver, but you were purchased, but you were purchased with blood. What is that about?
One thing is, one of them has some estimable value, and the other one has, you know, it's unique and makes it all that much more beyond our comprehension.
We're going to have to, you know, one of these days, if I ever get well, we're going to have to do a whole series on the meaning of the blood. But we're not going to do it this morning. But the point of this is, you are not redeemed with silver or gold from your vain or empty manner of life that was received by tradition from your fathers. We've talked about this so often that it's probably analogous to a fish trying to describe water. But do you understand that there is nothing original about you? That you slowly but surely, you've modeled yourself after mostly your parents, your genetic structure comes from your parents, your way of looking at life comes from your parents, are in opposition to your parents. In other words, it's still, whether it's rebelling against or accepting, it's still based on the vain emptiness coming from your fathers. Now, this is a terrible thing to realize, that there's nothing original about you. You're just common, ordinary flesh that has received a bunch of stuff, either from your parents, mostly from your parents, and from your environment. And then you've been masquerading. There's this being masquerading as you all these years. But it's hard to believe because, you know, deep down you say, I'm special. Or I want to be special. He gets worse here in a minute. What?
Well, I was just thinking, I did a lot of my own creation. It wasn't, I got certain things from my parents, I'm sure, but if I think back on this line of talking, and I made my own self. I spent years creating who I wanted to be.
What's the same thing?
But it was out of fear.
Yeah, it was the same thing, though. I mean, it was either in response, it was either accepting or rejecting. But you were always playing yourself against that image. I mean, and you know, it's not. The point of it is, you really didn't create yourself. You were created in a mold that either accepted that mold or you rejected it. But you, in rejecting it, you were still reacting. There's nothing original. Is that clear?
Clear enough for now.
Well, it's important.
My reaction to what you're saying, I don't know what this means, but my reaction to what you're saying is, if Jesus Christ walked in the room, there's nothing here that could stand.
Right.
I would just have to fall on my face.
All right, well, you can go ahead and think you're special for a while. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb or as a sacrificial lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was now made manifest in these last days for you. That was the last days in AD 60. What is it now? Unless you think Peter didn't know what he was talking about. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, listen carefully. The evidence that you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit is that you have unfeigned, hypocritical love of the brethren. That doesn't mean tolerate. That doesn't mean put up with. That means unfeigned love. Oh, he can say, "Oh, I'm a kind of person that just loves people." No, you don't. That's a lie. You love the people that meet your idolatry. But there's a mystery that takes place that must be manifest. It's one of the keys to understanding the kingdom of God, along with forgiveness and, you know, other things. But the idea is that. Go to 1 John 5 a minute. This is an eternal fact. It's not a should or an ought to. 1 John 5, chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. What am I trying to say? Whosoever that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. The point of it is that you will the love for the brethren is automatic. It's not a should. It's because of it's endemic to the system. It's endemic to the structure. It's like, you know, grass is green in the summer. It's the same kind of thing. It's not something that you should do. It's something that you will do if you have been born again. Because you will automatically love everyone else that is born again. Now, again, this can't be tested by this grand... It has to be tested in the same way it was here with Christ. It's tested in a very small group of people. Because the word brethren, you remember, means out of the same womb. And then it's expanded to everyone, everybody else, and then finally it's tested and find out whether you're a slave to the world, whether or not you lay down your life for everyone. But it's got to start in being tested that you do love the brethren. Now the problem is that when you find occasion where there's something in a brother or sister that you don't like, you never consider repenting. You think that they're doing something wrong or they've done something to you. That's not right. You need to repent. If you have the slightest judgment about somebody else, if you have anything that's keeping the unfeigned love from being manifest, then it requires your repentance. Now, this is something that is critical because people are walking around in Trinity having all kinds of judgments about people. It's got to stop. And it's up to you to exhort the people not to and to call it if you see it. Otherwise, you're the watchman. The watchman's duty is if you see something, you must speak it, or their blood is on your hands. Well, I won't go into there. Let's go on. Do everybody understand what I'm saying? You are never right when you're judging somebody down. Well, I'm not judging him down. I'm not judging. I'm just a fruit inspector. Well, then you're an idiot. That's the common phrase in the charismatic world. I'm not judging you, brother. I'm just a fruit inspector.
Kind of dabbled in that, but I've never seen that.
You've just thought it.
No.
You haven't even thought it? What did you mean by dabbling in it then?
I'm saying I'm probably on some level, you know, unknowing. I never said that I was a fruit inspector.
Okay. Right. You didn't use that term. That's the
all right.
Are we back in 1 John or going back?
We're back in 1 Peter.
1 Peter.
Who by him, verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This hasn't been talked about enough. They shall know you are Christians by your love one for another. Now, is that love manifest? If it isn't, there's only one response: Father, forgive me, because you've allowed the evil one to influence your judgments. What, Gary?
Well, I'm thinking about how if you're not free to hate somebody or dislike them, or at least say that, then you won't be able to get to repentance. If you circumcise yourself and you don't prophesy, then...
No, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You don't have to run up and everybody say, I think you're an idiot, to repent.
Well, my point is, if you don't have the freedom to say it, you remain in deception, thinking that you're a nice guy or something.
Or that you love everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but that may be true for a minute, but my God, that's not... I mean, if I have any judgments about somebody, I can certainly say, Father, forgive me.
I'm talking about you.
Well, anybody.
I'm talking about people who might circumcise their feelings and their emotions and not...
But when they go out and say it, then all they do is wound their brother.
Well, they don't have to go and say it to their brother. They have to admit it to themselves. I'm talking about like we used to do right here. I'm just prophesying, I think. We did that for a while.
All right.
I know what I
mean. All right.
I think you're an idiot.
Timing is
see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. The only way that can happen is for you to be out of the way. Is it beginning to dawn on you that slowly but surely you must lose all of you? Has it come to any place in your being that what you think about somebody is absolutely meaningless? Your opinions about them are less than nothing. If they're interfering with your schedule, it just reveals that you have idolatry. Everyone that is born again loves everyone else that is born again fervently, without any effort on their part. It's the bird flying, the bee stinging. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything other than his own dynamic. The problem is, for years and years, you wouldn't have considered saying, Father, forgive me, if you had a judgment about somebody. Well, now it's time to walk into a new dimension, to understand that if you have a judgment about somebody, you cannot be right. You know, we've had way too much of this. It's the worst kind of sloth. It's the worst kind of lasciviousness and licentiousness. Because it's Gnosticism of the worst order. It says, since I am saved, since my spirit is going to hell, then I'll just run around and blab whatever I feel like it. With impunity. Am I communicating to anybody?
It's like you end up with a situation where somebody like you just mentioned is nursing this root of bitterness, and that's it defines
and it just keeps getting you know, it
defines
sure.
them in the end. You know, that's that kind of thing will take over.
There's a whole world of people, not a world, but there's a bunch who I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I can't even believe it. What they feed on is their hatred of me. That's their sustenance. And they get together and they have little feeding frenzies. And they all feel good because they're all in common hate. Well, that's no different than going and watching some idiot carrying a pigskin around and everybody yelling for him. It's the same thing. You're eating something other and the flesh of the Son to gain your sustenance. And the same thing is going on here. There's little feeding frenzies about judgments about people.
Well, he places us in the body
to repent.
Just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was placed in the garden. The opportunity for me to judge a brother always exists.
Amen.
It just looks inviting.
But, again, we're not talking to newborn babes. We're talking to people that should have some spiritual maturity. What?
Get that mind out of your head.
No, I'm not going to get it out of my head. Not when you're laughing at what I'm saying. Does anybody not agree with me? Mr. Buckner?
On what particular point? I agree with you.
The idea that there, even now, is going on little feeding frenzies in this body of people talking about their judgments of other people. And they're gaining sustenance. That's their meat because they're starving to death. You see it. You understand it.
I understand it. I don't know who's doing it. I haven't seen it. I don't look at it.
All right.
No, maybe you've seen stuff and I don't know. But I agree with the concept.
Okay. Well, that's all I care about right now. Being born again, not of corruptible sperm, but of incorruptible. Now, what it says there, it's in the Amplified and other some of the other translations, it says, not by the corruptible sperm of man, what does corruptible mean? Subject to what?
Denigration.
Subject to everything that you try to avoid. Subject to losing hair, subject to getting fat, subject to getting all of the things that you try to avoid.
An unflattering obituary.
Huh?
An unflattering obituary.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of the seed of man, but of the incorruptible seed of God, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory or the best that man can do is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now, mark this in your Bibles, or mark it in your head. In verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. If that word was the word logos, which is the word normally applied to Christ, the word logos, it wouldn't do you any good. The word here is rhema. It's the rhema of God or of the Lord endureth forever. Now, word, and what does rhema mean? Remember, it's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, by the word of God. The rhema of God is what lasts forever. If that weren't true, then you might as well just close up your suitcase and go home. Because this means that you are now a partaker of his eternal life. Because the rhema of God is that word, that logos, which has been worked out in you, so that your word and your life become the same thing. Is that clear?
It's the part that's understood and experienced.
Right. Not just understood, experienced. So it's, remember, it's knowledge is epignosis, which means it's knowledge is not just knowing truth, it is being truth. So you're never again an observer. You cannot know rhema as an observer.
So it ends up being something that is there and responds in a situation. It isn't necessary to think of what to say,
right,
to figure out what to do. It's an existing, alive thing that fills the need.
Amen. And this is the word. Word there is logos, by the gospel which is preached unto you. So we go from, in verse 23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God is logos. And we go, all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word, rhema, of the Lord endureth forever. Now this is the word, logos, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now if you can comprehend the reason for those different words there, you'll come a long way in apprehending the mystery. Anybody have any questions?
This makes me think of our conversation about searching for the truth. It's not outside of you.
Right. Okay, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and envies as evils and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now the word there is another totally different word. It's logisma. So we've got logos, rhema, and now logisma. Now logisma means, does anybody remember when we studied all this stuff? It means that which is of the highest
reasoning,
the highest that logic can take you is what it literally means. It means sanity in God's perspective. So you desire, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. The milk of the highest reason, the thing that stands all tests of time. Don't be satisfied with little cliches. Don't be satisfied in repeating other people's words. That's not rhema. Repeating other people's words is simply doing what? It's simply, again, being a verbal observer, because the word that you heard hasn't been mixed in you. Because you have a precious, unique expression of rhema because of the logos within you. But if you copy another's words, you know, that's all right for a while, like little kids saying mama, dada, but it's time to get over it.
I was thinking about what prevents this from taking place is what we talked about in the beginning of the judgments. Those things are not seeking forgiveness. Then the word can't mix with you because it would be mixing with you.
Well, it's the, yeah, because it's all those things that keep you in the kingdom of darkness, because it keeps you on the bungee cord.
Like Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the rhema, because it's in you. And you talk about, you know, the word is eternal, but the word...
Well, it's not just Christ in you is not rhema. It's Christ in you as being expressed. Yeah.
Right. It's Paul someplace when he was arguing with somebody, being sarcastic, he said something like, since you seek an evidence of Christ in me or something like
speaking
that.
Speaking in me.
Yeah. Rhema is that's rhema.
We get into this a little bit. Well, yeah. I mean, what do we make, 4 or 5 verses?
I give you a number.
Let's stop there.
One.
If so, well, here, no, let's not stop there. We got to go to one more verse. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is good or gracious. If you haven't tasted that, then none of this will make any sense to you. If you're still gaining your sustenance from all these other things, what we talked about earlier, from judgments, from feeding frenzies, from being an observer, from any of these things, if you're gaining your sustenance from that, then you haven't tasted yet that the Lord is good.
Yeah, that's a predicate.
Hmm?
That's a predicate.
Yeah.
That isn't
happening. Okay, anybody have any response?
This makes me think of the scripture, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's a seminal thing that is anchored in that verse, or you can't go back to that verse and speak of any meaning.
Yeah, every time I see something on television or in a book or something, and they're reading the 23rd Psalm at a funeral, I just want to scream. Did anybody ever listen to it? It says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, while he's leading me through the path of righteousness for his name's sake, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy chastisement and slapping around, they comfort me." But no, I've got to read it at a funeral. Because that's the valley of the shadow of death. No, it's not. The valley of the shadow of death is time and space.
Hmm?
Amen. All right, we'll continue tomorrow, if the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise and I can get up. Anybody have any other response?
This reminds me, we were reading on Hanukkah about the scene, the conversation between Mary and Elizabeth. And this morning reminded me of that, the idea of Rima, the evidence of Christ in you speaking. Conversation with the two of them filled with the Spirit and the baby leaping and all that stuff.
Amen. Take it, big guy.